The Ultimate Weapon by John W. Campbell. Chapter 1. Patrol cruiser IPT-247, circling out toward Pluto on leisurely inspection tour to visit the outpost miners there, was in no hurry at all as she loafed along. Her 6-man crew was taking it very easy, and easy meant 2-man watches and low speed to watch for the instrument panel and attend ship into the bargain. She was about 30 million miles off Pluto, just beginning to get in touch with some of the larger mining stations out there, when Buck Kendall's turn at the controls came along. Buck Kendall was one of life's little jokes. When nature made him, she was absent-minded. Buck stood 6'2" in his stocking feet, with his usual slight stoop in operation. When he forgot and stood up straight, he loomed about 2 inches higher. He had the body and muscle of a dock navvy, which nature started out to make. Then she forgot and added something of the same stuff she put in Sir Francis Drake. Maybe that made old nature nervous, and she started adding different things. At any rate, Kendall, as finally turned out, had a brain that put him in the first rank of scientists, when he felt like it. His general constitution of an ostrich and a flair for gambling. The present position was due to such a gamble. An IP man, a friend of his, had made the mistake of betting him $1,000 he wouldn't get beyond a captain's bars in the patrol. Kendall had liked the idea anyway, and adding a bit of a bet to it made it irresistible. So, being a very particular kind of fool, the glorious kind which old nature turns out now and then, he left a $5 million estate on Long Island, Terra, the same evening, and joined up in the patrol. The Sir Francis Drake strain had immediately come forth, and Kendall was having the time of his life. In a 6-man cruiser, his real work in the interplanetary patrol had started. He was still in it, but it was his command now, and a blue circle on his left sleeve gave his lieutenant's rank. Buck Kendall had immediately proceeded to enlist in his command the IP man who had made the mistaken bet, and Rad Cole was on duty with him now. Cole was the technician of the T-247. His rank of technical engineer was practically equivalent to Kendall's circle rank, which made the two more comfortable together. Cole was listening carefully to the signals coming through from Pluto. That, he decided, sounds like Tad Nichols' fist. You can recognize that broken-down truck-horse trot of his on the key as far away as you can hear it. "Is that what it is?" sighed Buck. "I thought it was static mushing him at first. What's he like?" "Like all the other damn fools who come out 2 billions of miles to scratch rock, as if there weren't enough already on the inner planets. He's got a power-rich platinum property, sells 90% of his output to buy his power, and the other 11% for his clothes and food." "He must be an efficient miner," suggested Kendall, "to maintain 101% production like that." "No, but his bank account is. He figured out that's the most economic level of production. If he produces less, he won't be able to pay for his heating power, and if he produces more, his operation power will burn up his bank account too fast." "Sensible way to figure. A man after my own heart. How does he plan to restock his bank account?" "By mining on Mercury. He does it regularly, sort of a commuter. Out here, his power bills eat it up. On Mercury, he goes in for potassium and sells the power he collects in cooling his dome, of course. He's a good miner, and the old fool can make money down there. Like any really skilled operator, Cole had been sending Morse messages while he talked. Now he sat quiet, waiting for the reply, glancing at the chronometer." "I take it he's not after money, just after fun," suggested Buck.
"Oh, no, he's after money."